On Wednesday evenings for some time, we've been taking a look at the enemies of Israel and in that, the enemies of the Lord. We've seen various characteristics about them and purpose in their pursuits and that. In Psalms, it tells us about their desire and they're against God and they know it. They don't understand the import of that completely, but they are against God. They're against His nation, they're against His city and His people. We've taken a look in that list there in Psalm 83, several of the ones there, and we're on the city-state of Tyre. Tyre there on the Mediterranean Sea, kind of central, north and south on the Mediterranean, in the real estate that was given to the tribe of Asher. Seemingly that Asher never was able to gain control of that region. What we understand historically, it wasn't the case, has not been the case. There's something going on in the scriptures regarding Tyre. And I think that we can understand that and know that because so much is mentioned about Tyre. Even as we head on into the New Testament, you know, as far as I recall, there's nothing mentioned about the Philistines, nothing mentioned about the Amalekites, but there's certainly something mentioned about this city. You know, and I, in meditating and considering about this subject and this city-state of Tyre, otherwise known as the kingdom of the Zidonians, at least in part and sometime in history, Tyre always being tied up, or many times tied up, with that city of Sidon. You think about the cities, or you think about the kingdoms that are mentioned in the scripture and the significance that we know and don't know about them. You're never going to see anything about St. Louis in the scriptures, right? Nothing about Nashville. Nothing about Lexington or Louisville, as much as we may appreciate them. And they have a place, or whatever city that you would think in our nation that you know, you just really like. But there are some cities. There are some cities, some kingdoms that are mentioned. And, you know, Tyre is one of those. Why is that? And we're in search of that in this study. Here's another one for you. Babylon. Babylon's mentioned early on, isn't it? And we know there's a history of the world that comes out of Babylon. But Babylon's also mentioned at the end, too, isn't it? That's interesting. Gog. Gog is mentioned. What else? Well, Jerusalem. Jerusalem's mentioned, isn't it? City of the Lord. What is it that we see in the book of the Revelation in this thought and this train of thought about these cities mentioned in the scripture? You know, Jerusalem is referred to, I believe, in the book of the Revelation. I didn't look it up to confirm it, but is the spiritual Sodom at one time. What other cities are mentioned? What other references are there? You know, as much as universalism is so prevalent, has been so prevalent over the last 1,700, 1,800 years in an organized group or denomination as we know it, Catholicism, is Rome ever mentioned? There is a city on seven hills that is mentioned, but you know, there's a lot of cities on seven hills, seven mountains. Interesting, isn't it? And those we know for sure, Tyre, Babylon, and Jerusalem. Are there any others? Any of you brethren venture any others as we're just kind of mulling this over and thinking about this in that way and being mentioned in a broad scope in the scriptures? Can you think of any others? That thought, that reference, for whatever it is, it's kept through the Scripture. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? What is it about the city of Tyre and its great mention that we're to get from the Scriptures? We're embarking upon the book of Ezekiel, and I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 12. Something that I think that it's essential for us to just note this and have this in our hearts about the book of Ezekiel. And all the testimony that this is to the waywardness of the nation. Ezekiel is amongst the people in captivity in Babylon. I mean, the fathers, the grandfathers, the great-grandfathers, they've sinned against God. It's piled up and it's stacked up against the nation. And now the children, maybe even being involved in such, they've been taken captive to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. They're there. They've lost their land. It's gone. They've been taken and plucked out of their land. And Brother Ezekiel is a captive with them over in Babylonia, being subject to that same captivity. But we find Brother Ezekiel to be a man righteous and dedicated to the Lord. He hasn't quit the Lord. But he's amongst the whole people that has. And you know what? Even in that, the Lord sends a word to them. But unlike those prophets that have come before Ezekiel, where the Lord says, and we've covered several of these as we've taken a look at the mention of Tyre on down through time. Unlike the other prophets where the Lord sends prophecy saying, look out, if you don't change your ways, this is coming to pass. Look out. If you don't change your ways, I'm going to bring this to pass on your children. Talking about captivity, judgment, leanness, the removal of from the land, the removal of good things from them. But with Brother Ezekiel, it's not that way. Listen to what the Lord says here in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse number 26. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Ezekiel here receiving the word of the Lord, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth, that he is receiving from God, the reference is to the prophet. The prophet is getting a word from God. He is receiving that, and he's going to give that out to the people. That's the operation and work of God for centuries. That's what that word seeth is speaking about. He said, they say the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of times that are far off. That had become their attitude. In the end, and before Nebuchadnezzar came, and there at the end of the nation, or maybe even for decades before, prophecies for a ways off. Don't worry about how bad it is. It's not going to happen in our time. You know, Hezekiah, I go back and forth about King Hezekiah. There's aspects about Brother Hezekiah that are good. And then there's some attitudes and aspects of Brother Hezekiah that are really kind of sorry. You know what he said when the prophecy about the demise of the kingdom came in his day? He said, oh good, at least it's not in my day. It doesn't seem to be that he had any grief that it was going to be in his son's days, in his children's days. It seems like, if I understand it right, if I understand what he's saying there, what's being relayed to us, it was just kind of a coldness in regards to the future. And to his children. And what they would have to bear, and his sins and his transgression, and showing the kingdom to the Chaldeans, and then the transgressions of their fathers. The vision that he seeth is for many days to come, they say, and he prophesieth of times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel, I'm going to give you prophecy, and a study of this book will show us and reveal that this is the case, I'm going to give you a prophecy, and boom, it's going to happen. So in this day of Brother Ezekiel, we understand from theologians and those look to try to understand the placement and the time. Brother Ezekiel's time, at least the time of his ministry, being a man of 30 years old when this book of Ezekiel seems to start, is somewhere between 585 and 565 B.C. And I'm going to go ahead and give you this information. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar is reigning, and his reign is somewhere between 605 B.C., 20 years or so before the prophecy of the book of Ezekiel. It's as best as can be determined, until about a few years after Ezekiel's ministry, 562 B.C. We understand that to be the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is known historically to have sieged Tyre from 586 B.C. to 573 B.C. Right there in the beginning of the ministry, we understand that Ezekiel had in the years that this book of Ezekiel spans. When Ezekiel got the prophecy that we're going to read, it was happening. Real time. What's that mean to us? What is that speaking to us about? May God help us that we not get in that shape. May the Lord help us that we not get in the shape and say, well, that's off for some time later on down the road. Don't sweat it. Don't let that have any impact on you. May we kind of come to that shape. May we not come to the shape where we say, well, you know, that's not going to impact me. That's not going to affect me. So I don't really give a lick about that. I tell you what, it's going to impact somebody. What the Lord says and what the Lord promises, what the Lord tells, is going to impact somebody. May the Lord help us that we have a yearning and a desire before the Lord for our children, for our grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren, for the future, for now and for the future of our church. And may our love not wax cold because iniquity abounds in our day. May God help us. So Ezekiel, his brother Ezekiel's getting prophecy real time. In Ezekiel chapter 26, we embark upon four chapters here in the book of Ezekiel that deal with Tyrus, with Tyre. And isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that there's actually four chapters here dedicated to that? And as we've looked through the Old Testament and tried to put that in order and where these brethren lay and these references to Tyrus have been in the Old Testament scriptures and the minor prophets and in the Isaiah. Now we come to the book of Ezekiel where there's actually four chapters dedicated to Tyre. And why is that? Why Tyre? Why not Babylon? Why not four chapters dedicated to another city? But four chapters here dedicated to this city. Well, we're going to see some things here as we go through this, and I pray that the Lord will help us that we might have clarity, the Lord will give us clarity as to why this is the case. In Ezekiel chapter 26, verse number 1, and it came to pass in the 11th year. We find these references through the book of Ezekiel, references of time. There's a reference from the beginning of the book. It gives us a marker there about Nebuchadnezzar's reign and such as that. And when the book started. At this point, if we understand it correctly, this is 5 years and 8 months and nearly another whole month into the book. So the prophecy of Brother Ezekiel has been going on for years, and what the Lord has given him. It's been a year and a couple months here at chapter 26 since it was recorded that he'd heard from the Lord in the book. So there's great gaps in between that we see. I find that interesting. Don't know what all that it means other than just we have this ordering that's laid before us. So in this 11th year, and in the first day of the month, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus hath said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken, that the gates, that was the gates of the people, she is turned unto me, I shall be replenished, now she is laid waste. So Tyrus, what the leadership, what the thinking of the city is known unto God. And she has scorned the taking of Jerusalem by the Babylonians and the rundown of them by their oppressors because of the chastisement of the Lord. Because of this, the Lord is going to do something to the city. That's the reference at hand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes his waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus, and shall break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her, and make her like the top of a rock. At Tyrus, there's this this island that's out from the mainland, there where Tyrus is. And at this time, it's being referenced to, if we understand it correctly historically, the main part of the city is there on the mainland. But out here, there's kind of on this island, there is a fortress. And the Lord says he's going to bring destruction to this city. Remember, she is at the epicenter of commerce in this part of the world. Having great ships, as we've seen, and being able to sail and trade on the Mediterranean, and being in the line of all those trains that would come from the east, all the bounty and the blessing from the south and there in the land of Canaan and Israel, and from the north up there, and being situated in Lebanon, where we saw all that timber and different aspect taken for the temple in David and Solomon's day. Well, she's got wealth enough to hire mercenaries. She's hired her protection. And there's no fortification that's available in the technology of man that hasn't been built for Tyrus. She's defensed. But the Lord says, I'm going to bring your walls down. And I'm going to take that rock that you're on, that foundation that you're on, and it's going to be wiped clean. Wiped clean. I will make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. And her daughters, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. Other cities situate out from Tyre that are in part of her commerce and part of the land of the Zidonians at a time, give or take, from this. So they're going to suffer too. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. And you know what? The testimony that Tyrus has to her greatness is that she withstood this king of kings for 13 years. Can you imagine being in a place under siege for 13 years? If I remember historically correctly, the problem and the issue that Nebuchadnezzar had to overcome in the sieging of this city and the dealing with this city was the connection and the ability that Tyre had to the sea. And Tyre for a long time could be provisioned from the sea and helped out from the sea, from the Mediterranean. But Nebuchadnezzar, he was like a rabid dog. He didn't quit. Can you imagine a campaign for 13 years? But he did it. Because you know why? He was sent by the Lord. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know he was sent by the Lord. Maybe until later time when he read the Word of God and when he was saved and possibly read the Word of God that had been written. That's a great possibility. Brother Nebuchadnezzar was saved by the Lord. An incredible account. You know, the Lord knew what it took to break that man down, and he did it. And he saved him. I think we'll see him one day. I think he's in glory with our Lord. But he was sent of the Lord, and he came with a great host indeed. Verse 8, he shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field, and shall make a fort against thee, and cast a mount against thee, and lift up the buckler against thee. All instrument of war he will bring and set against this great city. And he shall set engines of war against thy walls, and with his axes he shall break down thy towers. By reason the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen and of the wheels and of the chariots when he shall enter into thy gates. As men enter into a city wherein is made a breach, when they break through, they're going to come through in mass. With the hoofs of his horses shall he tread down all thy streets. He shall slay thy people by the sword, and thy strong garrison shall go down to the ground. None will be able to withstand. And thus they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise. And they shall break down thy walls, and destroy thy pleasant houses. And they shall lay thy stones, and thy timber, and thy dust in the midst of the water. What's the water? The Mediterranean. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you about this. Tyre, after Nebuchadnezzar's siege and his overtaking of Tyre, or an agreement come to there and his dominion and rule being over at a time, it's some couple hundred years later that another man comes to Tyre. He's a Greek or a Macedonian. A man you might have heard of by the name of Alexander the Great. And you know what? He is chafed by Tyre's unwillingness to surrender and submit to him. And you know what this man does? Now, he's an engineering. He's got engineers, and he's an engineering marvel himself. A young man indeed. But he has done things already. I believe in crossing the Rhine, or crossing over into Turkey. They're just amazing. You know what he does? The city at this time has been built out on the island. And it is defensed indeed. Tyre has said, we're not going to let that happen again. And you know what Alexander the Great does? He takes all that rubble from the old city, even down to the dust, and he fills in that water gap between the mainland and that island, some quarter to a half mile, and in 300 and some B.C., he takes Tyre again. Everything up there in the old city is like a smooth stone. All the rubble, indeed, was put in the sea, was put in the water. We don't mess around with the Lord. May God help us to see, you and I, no man, no one can mess around with the Lord. We need to bow to the Lord. We need to receive what our Lord says. Right at the end of verse 12, "And they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harps shall be no more heard." Where all the latest music and instruments and all that would be found there in Tyre, that of the world. "And I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to Tyrus, shall not the isles shake at the sound of thy fall? And when the wounded cry, and when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee?" Because Tyrus can never fall. The wealth of Tyrus could never be overcome or defeated. I tell you what, if the Lord's against it, it surely will. "Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones and lay away their robes and put off their broidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground and shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee." The place of commerce that could never cease has been brought to cease. And if this man with his armies will do such a thing there, what will he come and do to us? That would be the thinking that they would have. Verse 17, "And this shall take up a lamentation, a crying, a moaning, a bewailing for thee, and say to thee, how art thou destroyed that was inhabited of seafaring men?" So we see here this reference to the greatness of the seafaring ability of Tyre. "The renowned city, known by all, which was strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants, which caused their terror to be on all that haunt it." Had a reputation. Yeah, a reputation would be, you don't mess with Tyre. "Now shall the isles tremble in the day of thy fall. Yea, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at thy departure. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon thee, and great waters shall cover thee, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in the places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. Though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord." What do you think about the inhabitants there of Israel, Judah, that have been taken captive there in Babylonia when they heard this prophecy come forth from Ezekiel from the Lord? Do you think that they doubted? I don't think that can happen to Tyre. I tell you what, everything that the Lord said, everything our Lord has said is going to come to pass. And everything that the Lord tells us as children about sin and wickedness that we need to stay away from, and righteousness that we need to pursue, and obedience unto our Lord, it's all so. It's all true. May God help us to know that when the Lord speaks, He speaks for us to hearken unto Him. Tyrus. Here, in this chapter, Tyrus is spoken of, the city is personified. The way of the city is personified. Tyre has had many kings. And she had a king in the days of Nebuchadnezzar's siege, in that 13 years. Maybe a couple of leadership. I can't remember exactly how that is. But the whole system and the whole way of Tyre is what's referred to here in this chapter. The men, the inhabitants, the thinking, the wealth, the system that she had developed for herself, The Lord's speaking about all of that, and He's going to bring it to naught. So much so that the world's going to look on at this and say, whoa, how did that ever happen? In chapter 27, this chapter starts off, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, now thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus. We see the condemnation of the Lord upon Tyrus. And now we're going to hear from the Lord, Lord willing, next time we're going to hear about the lamentation that the Lord says regarding Tyrus. What should have been going on at Tyrus? Well, all things evil should have not been going on. And all things good and all things pure and right and just and honorable should have been going on. And all of it should have been for the honor and the glory of the Lord from the children of men. That's what should have been going on in Tyre. Just like what should be going on in Homestead, Kentucky. Because we've been created to honor and glorify God. But you know what the leadership and the people and the folks of Tyre did? They took the Lord's good green earth and the things that they benefited from it, and they took it and they pursued. And in a sense, they were blessed to be prosperous, and they took it and they glorified themselves. And so now our Lord's going to give the lamentation, the true lamentation for Tyre. I encourage you to read ahead in these chapters, these next three chapters, and pray that the Lord would give us understanding. Why is this way in the Scripture? Why has the Lord outlined this for us so in the Scripture, and so much mention about Tyre? And Lord willing, we're even going to go to the time when our Lord Jesus speaks and uses a reference to Tyre. Yeah, Tyre, even in all of her wickedness and her waywardness and destruction by the Lord Jesus Christ is going to make reference to this city. And you know what? I think after we study and we see what the Word of God says here and other places in the Old Testament, what we've learned already, it's going to give a greater impact to the way our Lord used this reference in the New Testament to Tyre. And the impact of that, I think, is going to be some astonishment about it. May the Lord help us in it.